So today on Confession of Sin, I thought the question, like, why do we listen to the one who hates us, but we ignore the one who loves us? And every one of us does that at some point. And so I'm going to read a few passages to try to drive the point home. But so what is Satan's message? Satan's message is despise God's authority. That's the number one thing. In Luke 4, 5 and 8. Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. The devil said to him, all this authority I will give to you, and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. And Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. And Satan also wants to destroy us. He wants to destroy the elect. 1 Peter 5. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. And Satan wants us to follow him into his destruction. Revelation 20:10. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever, if that were possible for the elect to. But what is God's message to us? God's message is love. Revelation 1, 4, 6. John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Christ Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. God's message is sacrifice. Genesis 22. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad, nor do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And God gives a message of holiness to us. Deuteronomy 14. You are the children of the Lord your God. You shall not cut yourselves nor shave the front of your head for the dead. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. And the Lord has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples who are on the face of the earth, and many other times in the Old Testament. He's not a God near to us that we should not listen to him. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the coming of the Messiah. We have this holy word near to us. So, why do we listen to the one who hates us and ignore the one who loves us? Lord, please put it into our hearts to love you more and to eschew evil, to walk away from it, and to stay with you, the truthful one, the honest one, the ever true one.
In our confession of sin today, our confession of faith, excuse me, we're going to be moving away from the catechism because we don't have the overhead. I'll be using the passage of Joel 2, verses 12 to 17, if you want to turn there. Joel 2, verses 12 to 17. If you remember back on Independence Day, the Sunday closest to Independence Day, there was this effort across the nation called Call to Fall, asking us to come to our knees in repentance for our nation. Yesterday in Houston, Texas, in Reliance Stadium, there was a convocation for prayer and fasting called by the governor of Texas. It was a call for repentance, a cry to God for revival. And so in light of those things, I thought it was important to confess our faith in God, who answers the call of those who turn back to him in repentance and in prayer. And so I'm going to read the promise of God, which is in Joel 2. 12 to 17, that he will be gracious and merciful to our nation if we will turn back to him. Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness. And he relents from doing harm. Who knows if he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Consecrate a fast. Call a sacred assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children and nursing babes. Let the bridegroom go out from his chamber and the bride from her dressing room. Let the priests who minister to the Lord weep between the porch and altar. Let them say, "Spare your people, O Lord, and do not give your heritage to reproach, that the nations should rule over them. Why should they say among the peoples, 'Where is their God?'" I understand in the Hebrew that the poetry in this section is very staccato, very urgent. And I think that's God telling us if we will turn back to him and consider it an urgent matter, he will show us mercy.